Lunar Pages is a strange name for a company, but let me tell you what they do. This is cloud computing and storage, dedicated IP, SSL certificates to secure your website transactions. You know what I'm talking about. You have a company, you need Lunar Pages to host your business online. Scalable web hosting, reliable web hosting. These guys, they've come up with this. It's called Secure Live. It's their patented website hack protection service. It continually monitors your server and stops hackers before they get in. They have all the scripts and your developers at your company. They're going to love it. Lunar Pages, this is the best thing I love. Their support team is right here in the U.S. Their data centers are right here in the U.S. Look for their button on our sponsors page. Click on it. You'll receive deep discounts exclusive to you because you're listening to me. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Lunar Pages. Go get busy with them, will you? All right, it's Phil Hewlett and friends. We have Brooke, we have Kelly. A little later in the show, we're going to learn how to negotiate because, let's face it, we don't know how. And negotiation comes in real handy in just about every walk of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going to buy a car.
Oh, yeah.
Going to a swap meet.
Proposing,
right. Got to negotiate, navigate. It's all about money.
That's right.
And let's talk about taking a trip to Europe or maybe the UK. But wait. Uh-oh, yeah, there's that Brexit thing.
I'd like to go to Europe.
It threw the economy into turmoil in the EU, mm-hmm. I believe it did, and plus our stock market took a pretty good hit. Seems like things are leveling off now, but I'm guessing maybe now's not such a great time to go there, but who knows really if it is. I know who knows, our travel guy, Gary Warner, that's who. Come on in, Gary, come in, Gary, please, Gary Warner. Hello, Gary. See, he's not there. Who's there? Not Gary. Maybe he's sitting there and he can't hear me.
Get the aluminum foil out.
Yeah. Well, when Gary gets back, just let me know and we'll see what happens. Let me go to another story real quick because it could be fun. Kelly.
Yes.
You were talking about fashion earlier on, and sometimes fashion gets the local officials a little upset.
Yeah.
Got one for me?
Yes, I do, Phil. This is interesting. You know, there's a little town in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And they have a new ordinance that outlaws wearing, are you ready?
Yeah.
Saggy pants.
Saggy pants?
Trousers or shorts.
Woo-hoo!
That intentionally displays a person's underwear.
Everybody doesn't want to see your underwear.
Nobody wants to see
was
the
that,
underwear.
Was that the sheriff of that little town
yes,
in
sir,
South Carolina?
Bob, they have an initial warning for you. And then if you do not comply, you can get a fine ranging from $100 to a $600 fine.
Mm. Everybody doesn't want to see you.
They don't want.
Sheriff, thanks for the clarity. I mean,
I'm
know
all for
it's
it.
A big deal.
We yeah. were talking about that on how they actually walk.
Oh, how do they run?
Really? Remember, Brooke, with the how do they people how do they walk when they have their their little booties.
I was talking about
out.
The person that was just serving me lunch a couple of weeks ago, and how seeing his boxer shorts and the pants were literally underneath his bum, and I couldn't figure out. I was staring at his butt the entire time because I couldn't figure out how his pants were not falling down.
That can't be legal anyway, because you know they've got
hygiene.
Rules. Yeah. It's
well, look at it. Look at the women who walk around with their painted bodies.
Yeah, but they're not serving your food, are they?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
You gotta have most of the you know, you gotta have your orifices and covered.
But he's got underwear on though.
Yeah, but not if the crack is showing.
No,
I didn't see crack.
There's
didn't
no
see.
Cracks.
But
no cracks.
Still, how is he able to function? And you were talking about how the belt is tied or, you know, hooked so tight that it keeps them up. But then I'm thinking, well, if the belt is underneath your bum tight, how do you walk? How do you move?
If I ever want to walk up and thump somebody on the back of the ear and then run.
Oh, that would
it's got to be somebody whose pants are down around their.
I just want to go over to them and just pull them up and give them a wedgie.
Because the guy's going to chase after me, but I'll be able to outrun him, right?
I hope so.
I think so.
Even at my advanced age, in my bum knee.
Still.
Yes. My goodness.
Well, don't go to Timmonsville, South Carolina.
Is that where it is?
Yep.
Is that near a big town that we could identify on the map?
I wish I knew where that was. I have no idea.
I don't know. Timmins Vale.
Yeah. I don't know if we're ever going to find out if it's if Brexit has made it impossible to travel. I see our executive producer, Mike Stark, talking to somebody, but it probably hasn't. Hey, here's you know who Robert De Niro is, right?
Yeah.
He reached the point when he became more interested in money and less discerning in the quality of the movies that he was doing. And someone did analysis on this and actually used math and figured out that that moment, the very moment, came in 2002, because since then his movies have been, his acting has been consistently crap.
Oh, I don't think I needed to do math to figure that one out, though.
No, no. Are you saying Meet the Fockers wasn't good?
It was good, but, you know, good for nothing. If you're, he didn't get any kind of accolades or awards for that, did he?
But it was a good movie.
Our travel guy, Gary Warner, is here, and we have about 4 minutes to talk to him. Hi, Gary.
Go to Europe. Everybody, yeah. Go to Europe.
Oh, is that the gist of this?
Really?
Okay, yeah, we're done.
No. Hey, sorry about that, Phil. I'm in transit, and my Bluetooth was taking everything over. Hey, listen, I think that Brexit is something that everybody should watch, because, you know, the number one thing I always get from people when they want to go overseas is, it's just so expensive.
Yeah.
Well, right now, the dollar is at a 30-year low against the pound in Britain. And we're also doing better against the euro. And the only, you know, there's only a couple of places that we're not doing better against. We're doing better against Mexico. We're, you know, there's a big ripple effect here. You and I talked, I think, about 2 or 3 years ago about the three places in the world where the dollar was stronger than it was the year before. And it was like, you know, Turkmenistan and things like that.
Yeah, places you want to go.
Right. So, obviously, I think it's a great time to go. It's going to take a little while for the airlines and the hotels to adjust, but if you can buy, you know, in dollars for pound rates, you're going to make a killing, man.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about this, because I'm wondering if some places are going to be a better bargain than others, because some places historically are way more expensive, and maybe Brexit was a great equalizer.
Brexit was sort of an up and down thing. One of the things that went under the radar right before the Brexit vote was the Swiss had their application for the European Union on hold at their request for like decades, and they sent a note to the European Union saying we no longer wish to be a candidate. Now that's mostly about their currency and keeping their currency out of the impact that's hammering everybody else.
Yeah.
So there's places like Switzerland and Japan where the dollar actually is not as strong as it was.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, when you're not having fine cuisine in Paris, and I know you love Paris, a ham sandwich is going to cost you the equivalent of $12. And so now, what's a ham sandwich going to cost you in Paris?
You know, with the euro, I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'll tell you, a ham sandwich in London costs about, 30% less, you know, right now.
Oh.
And you know, the thing is that that's exactly, you hit it right on the nail, Phil, which is that you go to places where the British eat because stay, if you can, because they can't raise their rates on their business customers, but if you go to a tourist-only type hotel, they'll raise their rates basically, to go along with the dollar.
Yeah.
So that's a really good way. It's almost like being cheaper, you even save more money.
Wow. Now this has to be a temporary situation. They're going to figure everything out.
How long will this last?
I think. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a temporary situation. It's at least going to be through the fall and into the spring. And there's more turmoil to come if some of these other countries decide that they don't want to come in, or if the EU votes that they're not going to let Turkey in. You could see a lot of turmoil, you know, because basically England and France and Germany are sort of the ones with the pocket change to keep everybody else in line.
Yeah.
And really, Germany's the only one that's really committed to this thing.
Right. So, okay. So now, Gary, it used to mean if you had a dollar and you bought something in London, it would cost you $2. Or, you know, if you bought something in Paris, it cost you $1.50. What is it now?
Well, it would have been $1.75 recently.
Yeah.
It hasn't been up to $2 in a while. But, you know, let's say there's something that costs $1.75. it was 1 pound, you would have to pay $1.75. Right now, you're paying $1.30.
Ooh.
It's probably going to go lower. And that's according to the Bank of England saying that. Wow. So I'd love Britain in the fall. My one recommendation on all this is that there is turmoil. You know, we got terrorist issues and things like that. It's a great time to go to some of the countryside, especially some of the areas that were very pro-Brexit, when they're not going to be grumbling about this whole thing. So Cornwall and Devon, Scotland would be very interesting, because even though the party there endorsed it, the people were more or less against it because it gives them another shot at independence.
Yeah.
The place I wouldn't go is Northern Ireland, because things are going to get nasty there. You've got a little bit of Europe, and then Britain in Northern Ireland, and then the rest of the island is Ireland, and they're part of the United of the European Union.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So Southern Ireland is fine. I'm planning a trip, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
You are. Where?
My family and I want to go to England, Scotland, and Ireland in the spring.
Great.
So, you just said a dollar would be like $1.30. I thought I'm confused. I'm so bad at conversion. I would think that if the pound is 30% less, wouldn't that be our dollar is now like seven or
well,
their,
you,
their
Brooke,
pound
it
is
used,
like 70 cents?
It used to be $1.75.
Yeah.
So now it's only $1.30.
We're still below.
Yeah,
we're still not as strong.
We're one of the few currencies. The pound's one of the few currencies where it's easier to do pound-dollar conversions because they're worth more than a dollar. Most currencies are worth less than a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay, so they are still worth more than us. It's still not one-to-one or...
But by the time you go, it might be the other way around.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not one-to-one, but at the same time, things aren't priced one-to-one. You know, it's not a $100... Let's do better for our readers here,
yeah,
or our listeners. It's not a $200 room. Now it's a, $150, $140 room.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the thing. And people always get obsessed with airfare, and then on secondary hotels, eating is often the biggest expense out of the whole thing.
Yeah, because those meat pies that they sell are so expensive.
Right. And unless somebody's going to be printing out new menus, you're getting an instant, big cut off.
Gary, got to let you go. We got to keep things rolling.
I'm not being so late. So, just for people that, to be careful and read the State Department things. But, man, if you can put up with just a little bit of turbulence, the trip that Brooke's taken, that she's going to be hitting all the places where the dollar is just Mr. Muscle. Right?
Way to go, Brooke.
Yeah,
all right, Gary Warner, thank you, sir.
Take care, guys.
All right. Coming up, something to make you feel really old, and I almost died yesterday. I did. I almost died.
I can't wait to hear it.
Explain why.
And that makes you feel old? What was that?
Just a quick thought. If you run a business, you need email marketing, and Constant Contact is the way to do it. I want you to go to our sponsor page right now. There's a special offer to try some of their services for free. Look for the Constant Contact button. Click on it. And get started. So we like our sponsors, and they'll take good care of you. All right. First thing, this is going to make you feel old. Mr. Executive Producer Mike Stark, we have a song that came out 20 years ago today. And here it is. That's, of course, who is that?
That's Hanson.
I love that song.
20 years ago. Now, don't you feel old?
Yes,
no.
You do, Phil. Thank you.
I remember that song.
Happy to help.
Well.
Happy to help anytime I can.
I remember just jamming into that song in my car. Woohoo!
Oh, God.
There's a country dance.
You were that girl, huh?
I was that girl. Yeah. All about the car.
So I am sore today. I am so sore. I spent all kinds of time preparing. I planted a tree. I did all kinds of things because we had a whole bunch of folks come over to the house yesterday.
How many?
About 25 or so.
Oh, Lordy.
It was a lot of work because I was doing stuff outdoors. And we've got a nice grill back there. I fired it up, and I threw 18 top sirloin hamburgers on there.
Oh, wow.
And I guess it was a little greasy.
Uh-oh.
Right? Uh-oh.
It's because I got to one point where I was going to throw on the hot dogs, and almost all of the hamburgers are off of there. And every time you flip them, a little fire comes up,
mm-hmm.
you know, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, next thing I know, it looks like launch pad for an experimental rocket had just exploded. It didn't explode, but there was clearly a grease fire going on, and there was nothing I could do about it except turn off all the burners, turn off the propane, and close that sucker. And I've got a temperature gauge on there. And I was cooking at 425 the whole time. And within a moment, it was at 750.
Holy moly.
And so I just got all of the dogs, a couple of them burned out of, you know, beyond recognition. They had, you could recognize one from the other before, but they were beyond recognition. Brought them inside, endured the temporary wrath of my wife because I just ruined the hot dogs. But what she didn't realize is that, yeah, I am lucky to have my eyebrows.
Seriously,
a lot of the hair on my arms is gone, but kudos to the people that made the grill that it survived. It's made of stainless steel and all the stuff that it's supposed to be, and it looks like it endured. And so I have another 3 days worth of cleaning left in me to get that deal. I sprayed some of that, you know, oven cleaner.
Well, I was going to say, next time when you're grilling, make sure you have a bottle of water with a spray bottle on it.
Well, that wouldn't have helped in this case. It's grease. You don't put water on a grease
That's
fire. Not a grease.
No,
no.
A grease fire.
No, you got to cut the oxygen on a grease fire or pour sand on it.
I just saw the Grill Masters. He has a bottle of water and he squirts the fire.
That's if you have briquettes.
Oh. Never mind.
I think Phil's a grillmeister. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very proud of you, and you're not even burned as far
the
as
the burgers turned out great, but that was a near-death thing,
really?
I believe, because I was inches away from a 750-degree fire.
And you didn't get burned.
And
amazing.
Yeah, well.
Did you have sunscreen on?
I did have sunscreen on, but what I realized this morning is that everything was covered except for my ears. And my left ear... is tremendously burned. Please remember to sunblock your ears. It's one of the most vulnerable places on your body when you're out in the sun.
Oh.
You don't want to go see the skin cancer doctor prematurely.
On top of your head,
too. I always miss
the back of my knees. Oh, yeah? I think my legs are done absorbing sunlight.
The part of my hair is where I get burnt.
Oh, yeah.
Your hair burns?
No, the part of my hair. My skin on my scalp.
All right, Blondie.
That's what happens.
That's why. All right, our first hour is done. We have a big, big, big second hour coming up. We're going to learn how to negotiate with Chris Voss, a former FBI lead international kidnapping negotiator. Can you believe that?
I'm excited for this. I need to negotiate better.
And I'm excited to see that movie about pets and what they do when you're not at home.
Oh. Me too.
Manny the movie guy has seen that, and I can't wait to hear what he has to say about it. I hope it's a good movie. That and a whole lot more with Brooke and with Kelly. I'm Phil, coming up in the second half of Phil Hewlett and Friends. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Ports a Call Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.